Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, today's message.
Well, I want to talk to you today about something that I've been thinking an awful lot about lately, and that is the subject of heaven. Anybody been thinking about heaven, especially recently? Anybody excited to go to heaven? Come on, raise your hand. I don't mean you have to go right this second. You know, some of you are like, wait, what are you talking about? What's the fun? I just mean at some point, I can't wait to get to heaven. Some days more than other. Have you ever had a day you're like, today, Lord, be a great day for the trumpet? Anybody ever thought that before? You had one of those kinds of days? When it comes to this subject of heaven and the thought of and all that's going on in our world right now, where does all of this lead? And for followers of Jesus, we know exactly where all of this leads to. We may not know everything there is to know about heaven, and I would even suggest to you today that you may have some thoughts about heaven that are more Hollywood-based than biblically-based, if you know what I mean. Some of us may have some more versions of heaven that are more Hallmark-based than they are biblically-based. So what is heaven really like? What is it all about? And could it be that your understanding of heaven may need just to have a little bit of reshaping from the Word of God? Maybe, maybe not. It does remind me of this one couple who they lived up north. They wanted to go down to the south to thaw out for the winter. And so they wanted to get down to Florida. And so their schedules were a little bit different because of their work commitments. And so the husband said, I'll go ahead and fly down Thursday. And then when you finish up work, you can fly down Friday and join me. So that's exactly what they did. So the husband arrived in Florida, he got to the hotel, got checked in, and he thought, well, now that I'm here, I'll go ahead and send her an email to let her know that I've arrived. And so he types up this email, but as he's doing it, he goes to put her name in and misses it by one letter. Anybody ever sent an email to the wrong person before? Come on, just wave at me if you've ever done that before. Like, oops, didn't mean to do that. And so he sends an email to the wrong person. It actually goes to a lady in Houston, Texas, who was just returning from her husband, a pastor, who had just passed away. His funeral. And so she gets to the house and she opens up her laptop to check email from friends and family who were sending their regards. And when she opens up and reads the first email, she faints. She passes out on the floor. And so her son came running over to see what in the world did she read that caused her to pass out. And is the email saying this: to my loving wife, from your departed husband. Subject: I've arrived. Message: I've just arrived and have been checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing you then. P.S. It sure is hot down here. How many of you know whenever she got that email, she was like, this is not what I pictured happening after we pass away? You know what? There may be some things that are unknown about what happens next, but I want you to know from Scripture today that there's a lot that we can know. A lot of people have a lot of questions about heaven. What will heaven be like? What will we do in heaven? Will we have to work in heaven? Some people think, because if you do, is it really heaven if you have to work? Some people wonder, what will we eat in heaven? Some people wonder more heavier topics or questions would be like, what about my son or my daughter that passed away before me? Will they be there waiting for me? Will they recognize me? Some have other questions like, when we get there, will we remember or recognize one another the way we did here? Will we just know as we're known currently? Some people have other questions. And here's one that I get asked, like as a pastor, like this is a pretty frequent question about heaven. People ask, will my pets go to heaven? Like people really want to know that. Will my pets go to heaven? Which is really, that one's easy, right? Because dogs, yes, cats, no. We already know that one. That's how that's going to work. Totally joking. If you have a cat, love you. I really do. But there are a lot of things about heaven that we can know simply by looking at Scripture. I want to answer a few of them together today. Number one, I want to answer this question. What is heaven like? I mean, if you're a follower of Jesus and you claim to be a worshiper of God, you're looking forward to being with God forever in heaven. And if you're maybe just checking out the claims of Christ, maybe you're like, man, I came because a family member invited me, or I'm kind of open to hearing about God, but I can't say that I'm a fully devoted follower of Christ. Can I just say I'm so glad that you're hearing this message, and that hopefully something that we're talking about is going to spark something in your heart that says, I want to be in on that. But for those who are followers of Jesus, we're going to spend forever in heaven. And so shouldn't we know a little bit about this place? Well, there are a few things that we can know from Scripture. And the first one would be this. What is heaven like? John, the Revelator, the one who wrote the book of Revelation, says that it is a literal city. Heaven is a real place. It's a literal place. And John describes it as a city. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1 says this, John writing what he saw in a vision given him by God. He writes this in verse 1 of chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Verse 2, how does he describe it? I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Heaven is a real place. It's a literal place. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. It seems so hard for us to imagine or to grasp what it's going to be like, because we're on this side of eternity. We've never been on the other side before, right? But some people would want to suggest to you that heaven is not a real place and that hell is not a real place. Well, you can't walk away with that conclusion when you read the Word of God. John describes it, and he's saying, this is a holy city. I've seen this place. And listen to how he describes it in chapter 21 and verse 21. He says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. And then he says, the great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. He's describing it in the best way that he knows how. He's using this beautiful imagery. He's using this descriptive verbiage and explanation to try and say it's like this. As a matter of fact, you'll hear him as you read through the book of Revelation using the word like or as a lot, because he's basically saying it's like this, it's like that. It's like, kind of reminds me of my teenage daughter. I've got a picture of my family. I've got to show you this before we go any further, because I need your prayer, okay? Here's my family right there. So I've got six kids. Can you stretch your hands toward me and just pray right now, just for a few minutes, for having six children? Five of them, look at the five girls: Candace, Kelly, Grace, Bria, Allison. That's my best friend, my bride, Casey, right next to me. Angel there, and then the champ, Jordan. So you can tell all of them are boys except for the five girls, right? So that's my crew right there. And people say, what are you going to do when they all start dating? You're not going to be able to afford all their weddings. Here's the great news. The rapture's happening before my kids start dating. Come on, isn't that awesome news? Isn't that great? Some of y'all are like, you don't know the day or the hour. We don't know the day or the hour. We just know it's before Scotty's children get married. So praise the Lord for that. So I'm looking forward to that day, and I can't wait till we're all together in heaven. And my son Jordan, he talks to me about heaven. He has questions about heaven. He cracks me up when he has. He said, Dad, how do you get to heaven? I said, well, son, there's only one way. He said, I thought that there were two ways, Dad. I said, no, what has their mom been teaching them? Like, this is heretical. No, there's only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus. He said, well, I thought that there were two ways. Either you die or you go in the rapture. I was like, oh, you're smart. I see what you're talking about. But we're all looking forward to that day. And John says it's a literal place. It's not just some imaginative place. It's not just some fanciful, oh, you go to sleep happy. No, we're all going somewhere after life on this earth comes in. The Bible says you either go to heaven, where you spend forever with God in His presence, or you go to a place the Bible calls hell, eternally separated from God. They're not just this symbolic places. Some people want to say, but when John is talking about this, it's symbolic. That's why he's saying like, which reminds me of my teenage daughter, like especially Candace went on talking about with Bria and Allison. It's like, and then it's like, and it's like this and like that, like everything is like. That's kind of what John is doing, but it's only because he cannot fully describe heaven. Have you ever had a delicious meal before and tried to explain it to a friend about how good it was? It's like, oh, it's just so, I don't know why we do that when we're talking about food, but it's like, oh, it's just so good. It's just good. Or maybe you've been somewhere before and you've seen something that was just amazing and you've tried to describe it. Like maybe you've been this, you saw a beautiful waterfall or you saw the Grand Canyon and you're like, oh, it's huge. Like that's all you could think of. And they're like, okay, I'm tracking kind of, but you cannot put it. That's what John is doing. He's saying it's just like streets of gold. It's like, oh, it's beyond any sight, any scene, any sound, any color that you could imagine. Heaven is beyond what we've ever seen before. Beautiful sunrise or sunset, looking out over the ocean, whatever you've seen is better than that. And again, for people who think that it's symbolic, what does a symbol do? It merely points towards a real thing. So even if it's not a literal street of gold, if John is describing it as it's this amazing scenery, this unbelievable place, even if he's saying, symbolically speaking, it's like streets of gold, even if that's the reality, how many of you know when you get to heaven, you're not going to be disappointed? I thought it was literal gold. No, you're going to go, this is unbelievable. This is amazing. And so beyond just the beauty of heaven, it's the ingenuity of heaven. It says in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 22, Revelation 22, 1 through 5. It says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great city, the street of that city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. John is trying to describe it, but he's struggling. He's trying to use the most beautiful, most descriptive imagery possible, and yet he's falling miserably short because it's just something beyond what we can grasp. Maybe the best way to sum it up is to listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. What is heaven like? It's a literal city. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. Here's a second just description of it. It's the presence of ultimate good and the absence of anything bad. What is heaven like? It's the presence of ultimate good and the absence of anything bad. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4, it says, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more aches and pains that I get. Can anybody say amen to that? It just seems like the longer you live here on this earth, the more stuff that starts breaking down. The more stuff just starts becoming more and more difficult. The more and more routine the doctor's appointments become. The longer that I live on this earth, not just physically, but the more and more I just become aware of how everything around us is just so, this is a broken world. It's a fallen world. When you're young, you're kind of just carefree and at times careless. You just run through life with no fear, right? And then the older you get, you start just talking about be careful with this and watch out for that. And then when you become grandparents, like grandparents are just, they've seen so much, like everything is dangerous. It's like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. Be careful with that, be careful with that, be careful with that. Why? Because we live in a broken, dangerous world. But I don't know about you. I can't wait to be in heaven where He's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Listen to this. No more death or mourning or crying or pain. No more cancer. Can somebody say amen to that? No more diabetes, no more back pain, no more migraines, no more arthritis, no more coronavirus. Something should make you excited when you're hearing this stuff right here. No more mask. I just can't wait to get to heaven where it says no mask required. I can't wait for that. We're going to live in our glorified bodies, no longer wrecked by sin or sickness. I can't wait. Listen, friends, you're going to be able to enjoy heaven. You'll eat food in heaven. It's going to taste like Krispy Kreme, but have the calories of a carrot. Come on, somebody. It's going to be awesome. Revelation 23 or 21, verses 23 through 27. It says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Listen to verse 27. Nothing impure. Hear that word, nothing. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. John is wanting us to know that when we get to heaven, you're going to be able to celebrate the fact that there is nothing, no one that will be there that will ever cause you another second of harm. No more fear. In heaven, there's no more anxiety. In heaven, there's no more panic attacks. In heaven, there's no more depression. In heaven, there's no more loneliness. In heaven, there's no more betrayal. In heaven, you don't fall asleep with tears falling on your pillow like a lot of times we do while here on earth. In heaven, it's going to all be gone. Heaven is the absence of anything bad, and it's the presence of everything good. In heaven, it's all good. And here's what's really, really cool about the fact that it's all good. It's eternally good. John says it's an eternal place. It's an eternal place. Revelation 21 verse 5 says there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them light. And look what it says. And they will reign forever and ever. How many of you know that forever is a long time? Come on, wave at me if you just know that. You know that forever is a long time. How do you know it's a really long time when he says forever and then he throws in another ever? Come on, don't you know that's a long time? He's like, we're going to be with him there forever and ever. He gives us another one. I mean, it's going to be unending, which is hard for us to grasp because we live in a temporal world. Even when something like the 24-hour bug hits us, that feels like forever. Can I get a witness right there? He's like, this is never going away. We've had it for like an hour, right? We don't understand how to endure. We don't understand the thought of just something. But when it comes to heaven, he's saying that there is no starting and start and stopping of a clock. This is unending. God is beyond time. He is above time. And he says, when you get to heaven, all of that sickness, all of that pain, all of that heartache, it's all gone, and it's all gone for good. You ever been on a great vacation before? Man, you were enjoying it so much. And I've had this happen before. Like, I've literally done this before. Maybe it's a five-day vacation. And on day number two, you're having so much fun, but you're already worried about it ending. Have you ever had that happen before? It's day two, and you're like, oh, man, it's nearly over. My wife, Casey, would be like, hey, it's just day two. We have three more days. No, it's basically over. I mean, the whole thing is just nearly over. You can't even enjoy it because you're just thinking there's an end to it. That's one of the things that makes heaven heaven, is that it's unending. No more pain, no more sickness, no more problems, no more disease. It's all gone. Only good all the time and forever. Well, when you think about that, then you realize that heaven's not only a destination for me, it's an inspiration for me. Because of the fact that that's where I'm going, it affects my perspective of forever, so it affects my priorities of today. A lot of times we here on this earth, we view our temporary trials and difficulty as something that we think is going to last forever. And we think of where heaven is, and it seems like it is unattainable. So our problems become so consuming, and right here, right now, we think it's always going to be like this. And the thought of heaven seems so distant that we can't even, but no, that's flipped. That's the opposite of what Scripture says. Scripture says life here on this earth is short. It's here, it's like a vapor smoke. It's gone. Heaven is closer than you think. As a matter of fact, we are all only one heartbeat away at any given moment from being forever with God in heaven. And just on our drive here this morning, we passed a car accident that we were probably 1 minute removed from. We got there before the emergency vehicles did. And I don't know what happened, but it was an extremely devastating crash. I pray that no one lost their life, but I don't know how they could not have. It was a sad scene. And I just think when you're just driving down the road, nobody's thinking it's all about to be over. And yet what John is saying is like, you've got to think about the fact that even though life on this earth is temporary, heaven is eternal. So knowing that, we should adjust our priorities today based off of what we're going to do forever. Friends, one of the things I love about the thought of heaven is that once we're there forever. Let me answer this second question today. Not just what is heaven like, but number two, what will we do when we get there? What will we do in heaven? And there are a few things that we learn from Scripture. One is that we're going to be rewarded for service while here on earth. So one of the first things that you're going to do when we stand before God, all of us will stand before God, right? You have to understand, none of us will escape that. None of us will be exempt from that. Every single one of us, after life on this earth comes to an end, however it ends for you and I, as soon as it's over, we will stand before God. The Bible teaches us that we'll stand before Him and be judged, but there are two different judgments. One is called the Great White Throne Judgment. That is reserved for those who, while on earth, said no thanks to a relationship with God. Those who, while on earth, said no thanks for your free gift of grace. No thank you for that. I want to live my own life. And so he says, on that day, they will stand before the great white throne judgment, and they will be judged for rejecting a relationship with God. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And they'll be sent to hell. Not because God wanted to send anybody to hell, but because they said, I don't want relationship with you. And he said, your wish will be granted for all of eternity. No relationship with me. But then there's a second one. This is not a matter of salvation. It's a judgment of service. And this is called the judgment seat of Christ. And for followers of Jesus, we will stand before Him not to see whether or not we're going to heaven or going to hell. We already know as followers of Jesus, we'll spend forever in heaven. But this is a judgment on what did you do with your life while on earth. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Talking about the kind of life that you and I build while here on earth. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day, that day, judgment day, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. You say, what is that talking about? What does all of that mean? Well, this is not a judgment salvation, so there's nothing that you or I can do while here on earth to earn our way to heaven. Heaven is not for good people. Hell is not for bad people. The only people who will go to heaven are the people who have had their sins forgiven by the grace of God. They've received that gift by faith. You can't earn your way to heaven. The only people who will go to hell are not bad people who weren't as good as the good people who went to heaven. That's not the case. The only people in hell are the people who reject God's free gift of grace in relationship with Him. But those who have said yes and receive it, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and my life will go through the fire's test. It will go through the fire, and it is possible for me to make it into heaven, but my life be consumed by fire because I didn't live for Him. My days were not committed to Him. My time was not devoted to His service. It's all about me. It's all for me. It's all about my own pleasure, all about my own gain, all about my own name. Maybe I did some right things, but I did them for the wrong reasons. Motive will be tested by the fire. It is possible that I can make it into heaven, but I have nothing to show for a life of serving God. But how many of you know that as discouraging as that is, the opposite is extremely encouraging. And that is for all of us who've devoted our lives to serving God. Whatever you've done in His name will be rewarded on that day. This is crazy to me. I just love the thought of this, that knowing whatever I'm doing just to try and honor Him with my life, with my time, talent, and my treasure, so with my schedule, with my abilities, with my finances, everything that I do in His name and for His glory, He set this up. This is not Pastor Steve's idea. This is not my idea. This is God's idea, that whatever you do, not only does He notice it, not only does He see it when you do it, but you will be rewarded for it. That's what it just said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So this is crazy cool, because how many of you just want to acknowledge? Don't try and act all super spiritual on me. We like it when somebody notices when we do something good. Now, don't act like you don't, because we all do. No, I just did that for Jesus. You did, but you hope somebody notices it. Let's just be real. If I'm just taking the garbage out, I want my wife and kids to notice it. I mean, I just do. I'm just making noise, waiting for somebody to look over. And if nobody's in the room, I'll just kind of wait for a minute. I'm kind of walking in place. And, hey, babe, do you need something? No, okay, I'm just taking the trash out over here. If you need me, I'm just going to be out here taking it. I just want somebody to notice when I do something right. Sometimes we wonder, does anybody notice? God notices. Every time you give an offering, God notices. Every time you care for some neighbor of yours, God notices. Every time you do something kind for somebody who doesn't do anything in return, God notices. Every time you forgive someone to where you should have taken revenge in your flesh, you were mad, you ain't, but instead you chose to honor God and forgive, God notices. And He says, hey, when you get to heaven, here's one of the first things you're going to do. You're going to receive the reward of the life of service that you've done in My name. God notices. Not only that, but what else will we do when we get to heaven? We're going to be reunited with loved ones. Maybe you've had a friend, maybe you've had a family member who's gone on to be with the Lord, and they loved God, they served God, they followed God, and you know, we grieve and we miss them, but we grieve differently than those who have no hope. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, it says, "For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." We grieve when we lose friends or families, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We miss them. It's appropriate to mourn. It's appropriate to be sad. And goodbyes are always hard. It was hard for me early this morning when we left Edmond, Oklahoma to drive here. When I'm telling my wife goodbye, she said last night as we were hugging before we went to sleep, she said, "Oh, I'm going to miss you." I'm not going back today, y'all. That's just how much she loves me, I guess. But just gone just for a day. But goodbyes are hard, but they're really hard if you've ever had a friend or family member maybe deployed. Maybe in the military, it could be 6 months. It may be a year. And it's sad, it's hard. Or maybe you've been at a gravesite ceremony or service and you've had to say goodbye there. And it just feels in that moment so permanent. It feels so final. And yet what God's Word is saying is, while it's okay to grieve, as a follower of Jesus, we don't grieve the same way that others grieve. Because we have the hope of heaven, that we're going to be together with our friends and with our family, because in heaven there are only highs, no goodbyes. And so in a sense, we only say here, see you soon. There's a story just a little over a month ago. You may have even heard about the news of this, but the on September the 24th, it was about 7 a.m., my wife and I heard kind of this just boom like that. I just were like, whoa, what was that? She said, did you hear that? I said, yeah, I did hear. She said, what do you think it was? And she said, do you think it was an earthquake? And I said, I don't know. I mean, it could have been. I'm not sure. But my thought went to the fact that we were going to be traveling that day. So I thought that one of my kids may have tried to get a suitcase down from the top of the closet, and it just hit the floor. That's what it kind of sounded like to me. I thought maybe somebody's just getting down a suitcase. And within a matter of minutes, it was breaking news that there had been a gas explosion in a home that was miles away from our house, but nonetheless in the same city. And it turns out that this family was a family that we had some association with, that our kids went to the same homeschool network. And so I think a couple of my daughters had classes directly with maybe some of the kids of this family. And so when we looked at it, oh no, what happened? And they literally, through this gas explosion, their house was destroyed. They lost everything. The mom, the dad, and the son severely burned in ICU for a period of time. But the saddest part is that they lost their 14-year-old daughter to the explosion. And when we heard that, I mean, as a dad, like, it was hard for me to grasp. You're just waking up, just starting your day. The dad had plugged in the coffee pot, not knowing that there was a gas leak. Seconds later, his 14-year-old daughter gone. I just couldn't grasp it. Honestly, it was just overwhelming for me. And I think probably what has impacted me the most through this process, certainly the heaviness and the burden of the grieving of that, but what's blown me away is the way they've processed it through their faith. As this dad is talking about just this unshakable faith and trust that he has in the Lord and his relationship with God and how they know that their daughter is in heaven, it's impossible for me to get my mind around. It's just stuff that I read about in Scripture. Does that make sense? But this family is living it out. Mourning? Absolutely. But with hope? No doubt about it. And all I can say to you today, friends, would be, it doesn't matter what the world tries to throw at us while here on this earth. Doesn't matter how hard or how difficult it may be at times, you've got to keep your perspective that life on this earth is short. Eternity is long. And one of the things that makes heaven, heaven, is that we will be with God forever, and we will be with our moms, our dads, our grandparents, our sons, our daughters, our friends, our family that have gone ahead of us in the Lord. We will be reunited with them in heaven forever. Is that an encouraging thought to you today? Let me give you this last thought, and then we'll begin to wrap up. So Robin and the team, if you wouldn't mind coming and getting in place just for a time for us to worship together at the end in just a minute. The last thing that I would say on what will we do in heaven is that we're going to worship our amazing God. I can't wait to get to heaven and worship God. I don't know how you process things like this. This might just be weird, like, and unique to me. Maybe you've thought some things like this before. I don't know. And I think that heaven is going to be so amazing and so wonderful. Like, I probably won't ever even do what I'm about to say because this is not in the Bible, so don't look for it. Scotty just made this up, okay? This is more just like my curiosity. But I wonder, like, what would it be like to get to heaven? And I'm just curious, like, to literally sit down with, like, Moses. Maybe I'm weird. Maybe you're just like, why you want to talk to Moses? I just think it'd be awesome just to talk to Moses and be like, hey, man, for real, though. When you look behind you and you saw the Egyptians chasing you and you saw the Red Sea in front of you, what was that like? Because in the movie, they made you look really cool. Like, I just want to know, like, what was he really thinking? Was he like, Because in the movie, he's like, Like, man, what were you really feeling right there?
I would just like to talk with David. I'm just curious about this. Maybe I'll be uninterested when I get to heaven. I don't know. Never been to heaven before. But there's part of me that just wants to sit down with David and be like, come on, dude, seriously. When you're running out there towards Goliath and after Goliath, was there part of you that's like, I hope I don't miss? I mean, was there a little bit of you that just thought, how many rocks do I need? Was there part of you that thinks okay, if I sling it, I think I can outrun this joker. Were you thinking those things? Because it sounded like you just went up there nobody's business. Were you a little bit afraid? For Daniel, I'm just picturing him, because these are real stories, truth. These are real stories. Daniel, when you're going into the lion's den, were you praying God, right now would be an awesome time just for you to sweep in, right now, ready, go. Right now, Lord, be a great time for you to rest. As you're getting closer, were they growling? Were they kind of pacing back and forth? Did one of them kind of wink at you man, it's all good. We got you. It's all good. What was going on? When you got in there, did you just go to sleep? Or were you watching and praying, oh, Jesus, oh, help me, Jesus. What were you doing? What was going through your mind? I wonder what those things were like. Those things, that's just curiosity. But now let me talk to you about certainty. Here's what I know that I'm going to do when I get to heaven. Is I know that when I get there, I'm going to be reunited with the one who loved me so much that before I was me, he was thinking about me. And not because he needed me, but because he wanted me, he created me. Did you know the only reason your heart is beating right now is because God told it to? The only reason you're able to wake up today is because God wanted you to? The only reason that you're here is because God made you? And yet in our sinfulness, in our brokenness, we do things that separate us from God. And that's called sin. And yet God's not okay with that because he doesn't want us separated. And so he sent Jesus Christ, his one and only son, to die on the cross for your sin and mine. And so that we could be with him forever together in heaven. So we can worship him. I love what John writes, Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 and 7. He says, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Have you ever had somebody do something nice for you and you just couldn't wait to say thanks? Have you ever had somebody do something so overwhelmingly kind for you to where you're like, no, seriously, you have no idea, I just can't express. I just wanted to say thank you. Have you ever had something to where you just wanted to say, I appreciate you. I gotta tell you how much that meant to me. And to me, that's what heaven is going to be like. Perfect, uninterrupted, pure worship of God. To be able to be with him. Sometimes I mumble my way through praise. I don't mean to, but just unintentionally, I'll just be singing words to a song. I'm not even thinking about it. Sometimes I'm tired and I'm ready to sit down. I'm just okay, that's enough. You know what? It's because this worship down here that we're trying to offer up, it's flawed. I'm a imperfect, flawed, broken person. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to join in with all of the angels and I'm going to finally offer him the worship that he so deserves. What am I going to do when I get to heaven? I'm going to worship God. Have you ever had a moment in God's presence where you just thought, I just hope this never ends? Have you ever had that moment before? Sometimes you refer to it as, I was lost in the presence of God. Just meaning not thinking about anything else or anyone else. I was just worshiping God. Now I get it that if you're not following Jesus, if you're not living for God, what I'm talking about right now makes zero sense to you, and I get it. How could it? Because you're just saying, so it sounds like basically a praise and worship service forever. I've been to some long church services, and that does not sound exciting to me. That's not what it's like. It's going to be the greatest joy, the greatest experience you could ever imagine, the greatest thrill, elation, satisfaction,
fulfillment. You can't get your mind around it. So the last question is, who's going to heaven? And John answers that one in verse 27 of chapter 21. He says, "While nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Today I'm about to pray a prayer. And if you just say, "Scotty, I want to go to heaven. I want to spend forever in heaven. I want to make my reservation for heaven. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life." I want you to know that while it's true, you're one heartbeat away from never having another opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Because once life on this earth ends, you have sealed your fate for all of eternity. That's what the Bible says. But it's also true that you're one heartfelt prayer away from having your life so completely and totally changed from the inside out. The Bible says it's like you were born all over again.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.